Blog Talk Radio.
On IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL, a rare day show. I'm excited for today, though. It's episode 100, by the way, landmark show for us. Pretty cool. 646-652-4479, of course, is the number. So today we have a special day. We have two longtime broadcasters, Hall of Fame broadcasters of the Atlanta Hawks that we're going to have on the show today and this evening. This was one of the most memorable seasons in Atlanta Hawks history. After a quick start, the Hawks went through a period where they were 11th place in the Eastern Conference, believe it or not, had up to six players or more on the injured list at any given time, had a mid-season coaching change. How did the season end up? Well, from March 1st, the Hawks had the best record in the Eastern Conference. They've won 11 in a row at home. They won the Southeast Division and clinched the fifth seed in the NBA playoffs. So now as we eagerly get ready to watch the team compete for a championship, you're going to get the privilege of hearing from the voice of the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Holman, and his thoughts of the season. We're going to get to ask him a lot of different questions in regards to watching the team fight through these challenges and to see where they are now, and of course, what he thinks they're going to do in the first series. So you don't want to miss it. Of course, you can listen to Around the ATL on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms. Of course, make sure you follow the show on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Instagram and on Twitter. That being said, we're going to go ahead and bring in our co-host for the show, Mr. Jordan Jackson. Jordan, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. The Atlanta Hawks are back in the playoffs. So, yes, you know, sir. Things could not be better. So excited to talk to the legendary Steve Holman, get his thoughts on this past season and what's about to happen in these playoffs. And you know, I'm just excited, man, to see the Atlanta Hawks, you know, really shock the world and break the hearts of so many out there who are picking and rooting for the New York Knicks. With that being said, I want to give a shout-out to Hawks Twitter, all of our people out there that listen to us. We certainly appreciate you guys. I'm just excited to get to it, sir.
It's been a long time coming. That being said, as I mentioned, we have someone who's been – really, really a professional in the business for over 30 years broadcasting the Hawks. That goes without saying, his professionalism and his fandom even. Of course, like I say, he's a Hall of Famer, and he is the very best at telling it like it is. He is Steve Holman. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris, thank you. It's nice to be with you guys as always. George, it's good to talk to you again, too.
Yes, sir. Great to have you. Great to have you, Steve.
And it's been a while, Steve, so we haven't talked in a while because of the pandemic. How are you and your family doing?
Oh, everything's great. You know, I've been walking since the pandemic started when the gym's closed. So, you know, I feel like I'm in peak physical condition right now and had my shots and ready to go.
There you go. All right, so let's get into it. And thank you again for taking the time out with us today. So my first question actually, how has it been broadcasting as far as especially being able to not go on the road like right now we've been seeing and everything? What's that been like? Has there been a lot of adjustments made?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. I mean, it's been a season like no other, that's for sure. We broadcast the home games, of course, were in our usual spot at State Farm Arena. But for all of the road games, we broadcast those from up in the control room, which is up near the roof of the building where they usually do all the videos and they play all the music from and the sound effects and things like that. So we're up there with Mike and I have two big screens that we watch. We get a direct feed. Miller Pope, our engineer, gets that in from the NBA, and you know, they pipe it in that way. So we have all of the basket noises and the speakers squeaking and you know, all of the things that we would have with effects mics at the game. So it's just a lot different, though, and it's something that, you know, after this season, I hope we don't have to do it again. I mean, it was something that, you know, out of necessity we had to do because of the COVID and everything. But it doesn't do justice to the listener, really. I mean, you know, we try our best, but when you're watching off a monitor, you're at the mercy of the people that are in the truck directing the game. And sometimes their TV, you know, they're showing replays when the ball is put back in place, so we have no idea where the ball is, who's got it.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot more difficult, but I think we did okay with it, and you know, it'll continue now through the playoffs that way. It is what it is, so there's not much we could do about it, but otherwise, you know, I think it's been okay, but like I say, I don't want to do it again. I hope that we're back to normal. I think we will be by next season.
Yeah, exactly. So with the seasons of ups and downs and backups again, what do you think was the most tumultuous time for the team itself, and what do you think was the turning point to seeing where the team is now?
Well, it was really, to me, we had two regular seasons. You know, we had the first part of the season where we ended up 14-20, losing 11 of those 20 games with leads in the fourth quarter, and then, you know, after Nate McMillan took over, end up with a, you know, 27-11 record, which was the second season I look at it at, and now everybody's getting healthy, and so it was certainly a strange season, but I think the coaching change had to be made, and it basically saved the season, and now you know, here we are with a whole week to get ready, and the team is pretty much all healthy except for Cam, and I think that, you know, I think they're going to be 100% going into the playoffs against the Knicks.
Exactly. Go ahead, Jordan.
Steve, I just say I do admire, you know, what you had to deal with this season. You know, I've listened to a lot of Hawks games via the radio this season, probably more this season than I have, you know, than I typically do. And I just want to commend you for the job, you know, you did in making those adjustments. You know, I noticed some of them, you know, when you guys talked about them, but the broadcast was still outstanding. From you, from your stands to Pokashevsky, got it Pokashevsky the way, to they stole Dwayne's bacon, to Bogey Bogdanovich, to the shout-outs to Miss D, our friend Miss D, who Chris and I had a chance to meet last year at a game, well, before the pandemic. It's just been most outstanding, Steve. If you had to pick one game, though, from this past season that was your absolute favorite game, what would that be?
There were several, and most of them happened later in the season. I think the one where Tony Snell hit the three to win it was a big one. Those are always, you know, games that you can call a winner on the last shot of the game, which, you know, it's rare. You don't get to do it very often. So that was the one that, you know, stood out to me, I think, the most. And that was kind of a turning point, I think, for everybody, too.
Outstanding. I just want to give you mine real quick, Steve. For me, it was Milwaukee.
Okay.
I've never been so hyped up. I've never laughed so hard and had so much fun from how they were winning and how it was going in the beginning and to how things changed and your enthusiasm, your passion. I really enjoyed that Milwaukee game. To me, you were on your A++ game as well that game, sir.
Well, thank you. I had fun with that game, too. I think, you know, I think Coach Bud brings out the best in a lot of us after his time here.
See, I see what you did there. Steve, you threw me off on that one. Besides Trae Young, is there a player that you've been impressed with this season that you feel is one of the main reasons the Hawks are a true threat in the Eastern Conference, besides Trae?
Yeah, I think it's definitely Clint Capella has got to be the guy because, you know, it was sort of an unknown, I think, to most people when Travis traded for him at the, near the end of last season. You know, they were looking forward to get him back and healthy and maybe play in the last 5 or 10 games. And then all of a sudden, you know, March 11th happened and we ended up losing those final 15 games. They didn't have them played and we didn't get invited to the bubble. We were in what they called the Delete Eight, the eight teams that didn't go. And I think that really that set things back. But then when Clint came back this year healthy, here he is, you know, 15 and 15 just about on the season. And, you know, he blocks shots. He's his offensive game is good down there too, down low. So I think he's been really one of the main reasons that this thing has turned around the way it has. And, you know, Trey has really matured too. I think that it's a credit to him that he's sacrificed some of his points to pick up on assists. He is 9.5 assists per game, and you know he's right near the top of that in the NBA. And he's really become the what you call floor general. So I mean, he's really been good that way. And of course, Bogey coming on and shooting like he is, 40%. John Collins just getting it done as he always does, and he finished out the regular season at 40% on threes, and also Danilo Gallinari ends up at 40% on three-pointers. So, you know, you look at this team up and down, and I think everybody's going to be excited about the playoff series coming up.
I definitely agree, especially with Clint. I've been saying I think he is the most influential in-season trade the Hawks have ever had. In-season, not, you know, going into the draft or anything like that or after the season, but within the season, I think he's the biggest trade the Hawks have ever had. Jordan, you have another question?
Absolutely. Steve, there's been a lot of talk about how Nate McMillan has changed the Hawks' mentality and is still confident. But could you talk a little bit about that, but not only that, about what difference you've seen from a schematic standpoint since the Hawks made the coaching change?
Well, I mean, he's talked about it himself, that he's tried to add some wrinkles in of his own, which really because of the lack of practice time and the games coming pretty much every other day, he really didn't have a chance to add a lot of his own stuff. And I think this week has given them the opportunity to do that. So I really think that when that series starts on Sunday, we're going to see some different things on the Hawks offense that are going to be really good and maybe surprising to, you know, defenses. But you know, the whole thing with the believe, I think that the team has bought into that 100%. I think they realize that he was an outstanding player in the NBA for a long time. They know that he has been a head coach for 15 years in the NBA. So the respect factor is tremendous, I think, with Nate. And just the little things, too, like one of the things he did was he stretched John Collins out a little bit more. That's why he shot 40% on three-pointers. And because Clint Capella being inside, it allowed him to put John outside a little bit, and then he can play outside in. So that's been something that he's put his fingerprint on. And I also think, I mean, it sounds like a small thing, but the one thing I really appreciate about Nate McMillan is he is so good at calling timeouts. I mean, he knows exactly the right time to call a timeout. You know, and it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, but it is. I mean, he just has a knack for that. He calls a timeout at the right time, gets the troops, you know, settled down and ready again. And I think that's been one of the big reasons that fourth quarter thing has turned around the way it has. You know, we've come back in two or three games that were 15 down in the fourth quarter to win. And the whole thing with losing 11 games that we had a fourth quarter lead, you know, earlier in the year out of those first 20 losses, you know, that's turned around entirely, I think, because of Nate and his strategy with timeouts and the different rotations and that kind of thing.
646-524-479, y'all. Go ahead, Jordan.
It really is amazing, Steve, because, you know, like you said, we couldn't hold a lead in the fourth quarter prior to the change. And now I always say on Twitter, like, if you want to beat the Hawks, you need to be up by 15 or more going into the fourth quarter. And even then, it's not guaranteed because they've been just outstanding in the fourth quarter. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, it's been so good. And you know, the other thing is, too, with all the offensive weapons that we have, I mean, you know, a great example was that game about 10 days ago or so where, you know, Bogey had 7 three-pointers in the first half, and Gallo had 7 in the second half. So, you know, if one of them doesn't kill you, the other one will. So, and the Lou Williams factor has been so big, too. And he has made Onyeka Okongwu, you know, 100% better than he was when the season started. You know, he's in his ear all the time. And Lou says, you know, I need a big man out there with me with the second unit that I can play off of. So he's made Double O kind of his wingman, really.
Absolutely. And by the way, that was going to be one of my questions to you. So you're pretty good at asking these questions before we ask them. but you're absolutely right. Lou has been done so much for that young man's confidence.
Yeah, and you know, I think Lou is going to be so big in the playoffs too. You know, he had his moments during the regular season after he got here, but I really think he's going to shine once this playoff starts. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, knowing him from the first time he was here and now here the second time, you know, when, like they say, when the bright lights come on, I think he's one of those guys that really steps up. And I mean, if you look at our second unit now that everybody's healthy, I'm not sure, but let's assume he starts DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup when the playoff series starts on Sunday. Then look what can happen in that second unit. You know, you've got Lou running the show. You've got Onyeka Okongwu, who's, 100% better than he was early in the season. You've got Tony Snell. You've got Kevin Huerter coming off the bench. And the other guy that we haven't mentioned, and I don't know how much he's going to play in the playoffs because we have the full rotation now, but Solomon Hill has been a rock-solid guy for this team. I mean,
through all
of the injuries and everything else that happened, you know, he came here, and I don't think he thought he was going to be more than a 10-minute-a-night guy, maybe, when the season started. And lo and behold, with all these injuries, he's been the one that has survived all of it, and he's played basically every position on the floor while all of these injuries were happening, and he's kind of been the glue for the team.
Absolutely.
I got a question. It actually segues into my next question, Steve. Home court. Hawks, as I mentioned in our intro, finished the season with an 11-game home win streak. We've won 25 games at home in total in a 72-game schedule. And after these last couple of years of losing a lot of games at home, what has it been like to see the team win so much at home now? And do you feel our home court will be an advantage in the playoffs?
Well, I think it will, especially because we're going to raise the number of people that are going to be there. You know, we've had 3,500 or so, and I think it's going up to, you know, 7,600, maybe 8,000. And who knows, maybe as time goes on, it might be more, too, with the whole mask thing being, you know, loosened up a little bit and more people getting vaccinated and the herd immunity thing kind of taking over. So I think we may have more people in the building as time goes on through the playoffs. But the home court has been very good. They feel comfortable there, I think. And you know, the people have talked about, well, there aren't many fans in the stands. Maybe that's been a factor. But the Hawks have been really good at home. And I think, you know, it would have been nice to have home court advantage against the Knicks. But really, when you start to think about it, when you think about it, though, okay, here are the first two games in New York. If you win one of those two, you get home court advantage back. So I think for a young team like the Hawks, although, you know, we have our share of veterans that have been in playoffs, but for all the guys that haven't been in playoffs, I think it takes a little bit of the pressure off as far as having to win at home, because you really have a lot of pressure at home if you have home court advantage in those first two games. So let's say we could steal one up there in New York, either Sunday or Wednesday, and then you come home a little bit more relaxed. And I think the other thing is, too, with a young team like we have, the guys being on the road, they're going to be sequestered in the hotel pretty much. They're going to be focused in on what's happening. They're not going to have to be at home running around, you know, trying to get tickets for our relatives and friends and that kind of thing. And I think that takes a big load off their minds, too.
So definitely true. Definitely a big point. So I got, before Jordan, I get your question, I have a follow-up question to that, Steve. Talking about the Knicks. The Knicks, a team that haven't made the playoffs in about 7 or 8 years, and before that missed the playoffs 5 years in a row, and before that missed two more years in playoffs. But somehow they're like the team to beat by everybody in the media. Everybody's picking them somehow. Why do you think the Hawks, and then also with Trae Young not being able to make the All-Star team in the same city, and, you know, Trae even mentioned it the other day about recognition of himself and the team. Why do you think it's still a lack of respect in regards to our team, despite we've We had the best record in the East since March 1st and 3rd in the NBA,
right.
But it's all these other teams that for some reason, if everybody can see my air quotes, are somewhat just so much better. Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, number one, you know, as Lenny Wilkins always said, NBA stands for New York Basketball Association. so everything about the Knicks gets favored. And I think that you probably saw that ESPN poll of the so-called experts that out of the 16 people that made the picks, 14 of them took the Knicks. And I would guess those 14 people who picked the Knicks probably haven't seen more than two or three Hawks games, if that, all year. So they have no clue. They have no idea. They just know that the Knicks were 3-0 against the Hawks. They don't know that the first two games were in the previous administration. The one game that Nate coached, the Hawks had an 11-point lead heading into the fourth quarter, and then Trey went down with that ankle injury that kept him out for four games. And Clint Capella got hurt late in that game, too. And we still had a chance to win it. Brandon Goodwin missed a free throw at the end that would have won that game, and it went into overtime, and we ran out of gas at that point. But I think that the people, the national media, they don't know anything about this. And, you know, I said it on one of the other shows earlier. I don't think Stephen A. Smith would know Kevin Herter if he rode in the same elevator with him. You know? I kind of disregard all those national people. Although I did, you know, I was impressed that Kendrick Perkins, who actually watches games, picks the Hawks to win the series. You know, he's pretty candid about everything, even when he'll blast the Celtics once in a while, too. So I like the way he thinks.
So do I, Steve. Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know what it's going to take for us to get some respect, but, you know, hopefully once we upset the Knicks, you know, we'll get some of that respect, because I do agree with you, Steve. I don't think they have any idea the type of firepower New York is about to see. Because as you said, that last game, we were up pretty comfortably. Trey had 20 points and 14 assists in about 2.5 quarters, and was getting ready to have a big, you know, one of those legendary stat lines in the Garden. And so, yeah, I do think they'll be in for a rude awakening. Steve, I don't want to get you in trouble, sir, but I do have a question. What a continuation in today's NBA?
I have no idea anymore. I mean, it frustrates – It frustrates the hell out of me every night, because you just never know. I mean, the thing that gets me is when somebody shoots the ball and they wave it off, they say no shot. And then there'll be other times somebody will be way outside and they'll call it a continuation. So, I don't really have any idea what it is anymore. I think they're going to have to look at that, I think. You know, the competition committee and all of that during the off season, because I don't think I think players included, I don't think they know what's going to be called anymore, continuation.
Especially how many times Trey has had to put his hands on his head trying to figure out how come he's not shooting the third free throw.
Well, you can thank for that. You can thank Steve Nash for all of that, going back to the second or third game of the season. When he went off saying that's not basketball when Trey was going to the free throw line. And, you know, all it takes is somebody here they are in New York again. Take somebody in New York to say something like that, and all of a sudden it becomes, you know, it becomes big news everywhere.
It's just the principle.
Then he turns around and they trade for James Harden, who is like the master of that, which is the irony of all of that.
So we'll see in the playoffs what they do. I mean, you know, Nate, this is how good Nate is, too. The other day when he spoke to the media on Zoom after practice, you know, they went through a tough 5-on-5, and, I think they probably brought in some officials, you know, from around the area, and I think Nate told them not to call anything. So because that's going to be the way it is in playoffs, you know, it's much tougher. It's a rock'em sock'em kind of game, and the Hawks, like he said, they're going to have to play through that. So I think that's one of the things, too. The preparation this week by Nate, I think, is going to be really big.
Absolutely.
Better believe it. So I have one more question for you, Steve. With our team being healthy really for the first time ever, minus Goody, who we know just kind of with the sickness is not going to be able to play, and then of course Cam, unless I don't know, Cam might just all of a sudden just come out of nowhere. But anyway, we know everybody else plus Hunter is back. How far do you believe the Hawks can go? Now, myself, I've been a standard bearer with this one. I believe the Hawks can't be beat unless the Hawks beat themselves. I believe with, especially with the bracket even as it is, we have a legit shot at the ECF, Eastern Conference Finals. I believe that. I might be crazy, but I believe that. But
yeah,
if we
play basketball, I think you're right. I just don't think there's any great team coming out of the East right now. So, the Hawks can play with all of them. I think the thing that we have to, maybe pull back a little bit on is the experience thing, because every team has to kind of go through it at least one time before they make that big jump. And I think the Hawks are at that point now where they're close to making that big jump, and I think they're going to come out flying next season, no matter what happens in this playoff series and the rest of the playoffs. But the other thing is the Knicks don't have all that much experience either in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Randle, who everybody's, made out to be Elgin Baylor, has never played in a playoff game.
Right.
So, I mean, you think about that. I mean, he's been in the league 7 years, never played in one. So that kind of, I think that, crosses out everything on both sides. So I think it's going to be a phenomenal series. I think it'll be a lot of fun. If the Hawks can just steal one of those, if they can get game one somehow, I think that's gonna set it all off.
I really want them to win game one.
So do I. Segue into my last question, Steve. You mentioned Julius Randle. There are two trains of thought when defending, a player that scores a lot of points like that. That either you could give him different looks but kind of play him straight up, or you try to double team him and take the ball out of his hands. Put yourself in Nate McMillan's shoes, Steve. What train of thought are you when it comes to defending Julius Randle in this series?
Well, if it's me, Nate McMillan knows a lot more than I do about everything, but if you ask me what I would do, I would throw DeAndre Hunter on him right from the get-go and let him play one-on-one with him.
Totally agree, Steve. Totally agree.
Well, Steve, I want to say first and foremost, again, I'm so happy to be able to have gotten you on today. I know you've been busy, but I figured with this little bit of an extended break, an abnormal break, against 72-game season and everything that's happened, this would be an opportune time to get you on. And I'm excited to get to hear you calling playoff basketball again. And we've been down for a few years, but now we're back. I'm very, very excited and can't wait to see what happens in the future. And definitely can't wait to have you on the show again.
Well, it's always my pleasure to be on with you guys, and anytime you need me, I'm here. So, Chris and Jordan, thank you. It's always fun, and I'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you so much, Steven. I just want to say real quick, I believe in this team so much that I have signed on to be a season ticket holder for next season. So I hope to get a chance. Chris and I will be in quite a few games. We hope to get a chance to, talk with you. But I will just say, if anything happens to your voice during one of those games, and I pull a move that you pulled on Johnny Most, I'm going to need you to tell the security guard to just be cool, okay?
Okay. I'll tell him to look for you. All right, Drew.
Thank you so much, Steve. I always enjoy it, sir.
All right, you guys.
Thank you.
And, of course, that was the great Steve Holman, the voice of the Hawks, 646-652-4479, 3 decades calling Hawks games. Of all people, he knows what he's talking about. Again, he's not afraid to speak his mind and what's going on during the game, after the game, before the game. And that's why we always love to have him on, on a yearly basis, because he's just a joy to talk to. But plus, he's also a fan. He's a fan of the team. He's deeply ingrained in these Hawks. And that's, again, another reason why I wanted to have him on. Jordan, do you have a little extra time so we can maybe see if we can get some callers on the line?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You mentioned, Steve Holman and his status. I just want everyone to understand, the legend that Steve is in this business. Steve Holman currently has the longest streak of games called in anybody in the NBA, and he's second all time in terms of consecutive games called behind the great Chick Hearn. who I had the privilege to listen to for a couple of years when I had NBA League Pass on the simulcast. And I'll tell you, you know, he's just the best there is, man. I mean, his passion is unmatched. And just, you know, he's so quick with it, man. He's as sharp today as he was, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And it's just a joy to listen to. And so I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, watch TV for the visual. And, you know, Bob and Neek are great as well. And we're going to talk to Bob later on tonight. But for all of those who don't get a chance to listen to Steve very often, I suggest just take some time to maybe just put the radio on for a game. And even if you have the TV on and it's not quite synced up, but just listen to Steve, because we do have a legend in this business right here. And he's for our team, and he's as big a fan of our team as you are, you out there listening on. And so I just think, you know, we certainly need to appreciate that. Having a guy like that here.
And plus, we're going to have him around for at least another 30 years. You hear how in shape he is, and he'd be
right.
In a good
better
team,
shape than
good
I am.
So I'm just saying, you know, I mean, just saying. All right, y'all. So we're going to try to come back. We're going to see if we can talk a little bit of Hawks basketball, see if we can get a couple of callers in. We're not going to be too long. So y'all take a chill pill as we return. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
And we are back. Told you it was going to be a quick break. 646-652-4479. This is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you're following on Twitter, IMTN Radio, Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. And, of course, my handle is IMTN1. I had to go ahead and play our little Hawks intro because I forgot to do it at the beginning of the show. Don't do that often, but I did forget this time around. 646-652-4479. You just heard Steve Holman 30-year veteran of calling Hawks basketball games on the sidelines. We had a great discussion talking about the beginning of the season, the middle of the season, and now the end of the season going into the playoffs. We talked about some of the ins and outs. So hopefully everybody enjoyed that interview with Steve. Don't forget, later on this evening around 8 p.m., we're going to have Bob Raston, the visual of our Hawks basketball team that sits along Dominique Wilkins, to also talk about this particular season and from his perspective, how he thinks the Hawks stack up against the rest of the league and some different questions as well. Jordan, as we come back, how are you feeling, man?
Oh, man, feeling great, man. I always have to try to dial myself down because I get so excited, man, talking to Steve and talking about this particular Hawks season, man, because I tell you, I really haven't had this much fun watching the Atlanta Hawks in a long time. You know, always watch the Hawks, always enjoy it, no matter what the outcome is, because, you know, we are true fans of the team. But I'm telling you, man, like, we finally have the team that you and I have been talking about for years, a team that can compete. And the fact of the matter is, this is, no matter what happens in these playoffs, this is only the beginning. This team is not going anywhere. This team is going to be a perennial playoff team to stay. We're probably going to start another 10-year streak like we had before we decided to rebuild and build this team over again. And so, man, I'm just excited, man. I'm looking forward to this series. I'm looking forward to seeing this team shock the world. I'm looking forward to, them proving all of the doubters wrong. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, Chris, sometimes I get kind of upset. You know, I've been reading some of these writers' awards from the NBA season on who they think is MVP and first team, second and third team All-NBA and defensive player of the year. And they're not putting in the Hawks in any of these things, Chris. None of them. I mean, even the guy Zach Lowe of ESPN, who did a great feature article on Clint Capella, he didn't even put Clint Capella second team all-defensive center. He went with Joel Embiid over Clint Capella at second team defensive center, had Rudy Gobert first team. And so I get kind of upset when I see these things, Chris, but then when I think about it and I think about how the Hawks are in a particular trade, I think it's going to wind up being a good thing because I'm going to tell you guys something. I've said it before. You look up the old article. You know, a lot of people, they kind of got upset when I wrote the article called Trae Young is Like Michael Jordan. But when you go and read the article, the whole thing is about a mentality. And Trae Young is that guy. He keeps these receipts, Chris. He sees the fact that people are overlooking him for these awards, for MVPs and for All-NBA. And he's going to make somebody pay a lot like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant used to make people pay for these things.
Exactly. And that's why I reposted, my article about John Collins, which I wrote like in December. I reposted his interview, 30 minutes, by the way, John Collins on Around the ATL, and talking about how much he wants to win for this city. But for some reason, that's why I asked Steve, it's like, how are we being really, I understand that we haven't won a championship yet, but neither have the Knicks in a long time. And the Knicks haven't even been competitive. So how are they so much better than us all of a sudden? And we have just straight up better players than they do, up and down the lineup. Like, we really do. I mean, again, Julius Randle is great and everything, and Derrick Rose is having a renaissance. But, like, seriously, outside those two players, can they really even, match up with us? And the answer is no. But, of course, it's the playoffs, we'll see. But, I mean, just confidence-wise, and that's why I mentioned, our home streak right now and how we've been playing there. And then, of course, the factor of Nate McMillan doing what he's doing. We should be excited. And I'm going to ask some different questions to Bob. I'm going to bring some up. So hopefully y'all don't miss tonight's interview with Bob because I'm going to bring up some different things as well with him. So hopefully everybody who did listen to the Steve Holman interview appreciated his enthusiasm. And again, if you're not as enthusiastic as Steve Holman or Renee Montgomery or Kendrick Perkins, who is not a Hawk at any sense of the word, but he's backing us up. He sees the writing on the wall. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be disappointed.
I throw one more name into that, Chris. Rashard Phillips, the draft Yoda. His passion and excitement for the Hawks matches those guys as well. And so, you know, they're in the minority right now, but they're going to all be proven right here shortly because the Knicks just don't have the firepower to match up. And, you know, you mentioned our home, how well we played at home. Chris, the record is 19-2 at home under Nate McMillan, sir. 19-2. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy place for any team to come in and get a win in this postseason. And, you know, you got to talk about stealing game one. That's exactly how I'm expecting to go. I'm expecting the Hawks to go ahead and steal game one from the beginning. Now, you know, New York may be out, bounce back and get game two, possibly. But once we come home, and like Steve said, we'll be relaxed at that point. You know, I'm expecting this series to last, you know, maybe six games at the most. I would say five if the Hawks had home court advantage. But since, you know, New York has home advantage, I'd give them an extra game. And I will say Hawks in six, sir, when it comes to this series.
Yeah, 646-652-4479. Go ahead and call in, guys. I think the biggest thing is the essence of the competition part of it. And, again, that's why I said the only team that can beat the Hawks, I think, are the Hawks. Because the Knicks are putting more pressure on themselves than ever, you know, because of just, you know, they haven't been in the playoffs for 7-8 years, and now they are. And, again, I mentioned this the first time the Knicks got to the fourth spot. They hadn't clinched it yet at that point in time, but you had all those Knicks fans just jumping and running and burning cars and whatever they were doing as if they had won a championship. And I'm like, you just got to fourth place, which is not solidified until the end of the season. And then all of a sudden the Hawks were in fourth place, but you didn't see anybody at the Varsity or on Peachtree Street jumping up and down because we had gotten to the fourth. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, it's just they have more pressure. Everybody else in the league has a lot more pressure than the Hawks because especially like with the Nets, Milwaukee, and Philly, you know, and again, straight up, I think we're just a deeper team. And I think we've proven that, and we're going to get to really prove it now in the playoffs as we go through these series. So I'm just excited. I don't think I want to really peel back my excitement. You know, I know you're supposed to be, you know, legitimately cautious and all that kind of good stuff, but I've seen this team play from the beginning of the season till now, and I know what we have. I mean, this is not no fluke. And we do have Trae Young on the team. We do have John Collins on the same team. We do have Clint Capela and Bogey and all these guys and Gallo and Lou coming off the bench, you know? And so it's just like, what are you talking about, everybody else in the league who don't believe the Hawks have a chance in the world? It's crazy to me.
It's like Steve said, man, they don't really watch the games. You know, they may watch the two or three games that the Hawks play against their favorite team, you know, the team where they live or whatever. That's probably the only they see of the Hawks if they even watch all of those games. And so, you know, a lot of people are going to be in for a rude awakening and a surprise, particularly these Knicks fans who are looking at the fact that they beat us all three matchups, like Steve said. You're not playing against a team that's coached by Lloyd Pierce. You know, you beat us twice when he was the coach. Cleveland beat us twice when he was the coach. And so, you know, everybody was whooping us up on us then. And like we said, Trae, we had that game under control before Trae and Clint got hurt in that last game in the Garden. And so, yeah, I think the Knicks are putting way too much stock into what happened in the regular season. The team that they saw, you know, in the regular season is not going to be what they're about to see now. And in that last game, like you guys mentioned, not only did, you know, did Trae get hurt and Clint go down in the game, there were five other players out in that game. And John Collins was on a minute restriction and wasn't even allowed to play in overtime. And we still almost won the game. So, yeah, man, I think, you know, America is about to get a look at the Atlanta Hawks like they've never seen before. This team just has so much firepower, you know, and I keep seeing, you know, writers or whatever who are not Hawks fans, and they'll tweet like, man, Bogey Bogdanovich is really on a tear, and he's just shooting out of his mind. But it's been 2.5 months. You know what I mean? So at some point, you got to realize this is just who he is. This is not a terror in anything. This is just him being healthy, being comfortable on his new team, and knowing his role. Man, I just can't get over the fact that, you know, I try to be nice, Chris, but I'm just going to have to say this like it is. Sacramento sure is dumb for letting us have Bogey Bogdanovich for nothing, but I certainly appreciate him, sir.
Oh, you know, proud of you saying that. It's still amazing to this day, you know. And what are the five things that you need to have a successful franchise? You have to have an owner that wants to win and does what's necessary to win. You have to have a general manager that makes wise decisions over a long period of time. You have to have a good to great coach. You have to have good to great players, and you have to be healthy. In the last 25-plus years, the Hawks haven't had a whole bunch of that. But then when you look at it from the other perspective of other teams, think about other teams. In Sacramento, they haven't made the playoffs in 15 straight years, y'all. Like, think about that. What would y'all do if the Hawks wouldn't make the playoffs in 15 straight years? You know how crazy some of y'all would be right now? So, again, when it comes to some of those decisions, whether it be, you know, the Houston Rockets, you know, we got Clint. Well, what did we give away for Clint? I'm just saying. And then getting Bogey and some of those moves, guess what? We have a great general manager, y'all. We have an owner that's been rebuilding this team for 5 years. This is just not like a three-year rebuild. We know we have a great coach now. We know we have good to great players. And now for the first time in a while, we're full healthy except for Cam and Goody. We have a lot to look forward to. So, again, I don't understand why a lot of fans still, there's still a lot. You're still kind of, you know, on the fence. They're teetering on the edge. They're still not really sure. They don't want to be. Like, we're in the playoffs for real now, and you still got people kind of being wishy-washy. It's kind of crazy to me.
I'll tell you exactly what we gave up for Clint Capella, sir. We gave up Miss D's favorite player, Evan Turner. We gave up a first-round pick that became Alexa Pokashevsky, who I mentioned in the call Steve Holman had earlier this year, and a second-round draft pick for Clint Capella. That was it. And so I think Travis Schlenk has to be given all the credit in the world for the turnaround in this team. And I can remember, and I really didn't understand what it was all about, but I can remember, you know, like a lot of fans didn't seem to like him very early his tenure and giving him a nickname of Easy in New Pack City, which I wasn't quite sure what that was about. And the more he started drafting guys, I'm like, well, wait a minute now. Why don't we like Travis Schlenk again? Like, because all I'm seeing are great moves. You know, with the exception of a couple of guys that didn't pan out, Bruno Spellman, he's done nothing but a fantastic job. And the way he's went and got these veterans, guys like Bogey, guys like Gallo, Solomon Hill, Tony Snell. I mean, he just acquired the perfect pieces for this team. And so, you know, that's another guy who I feel is probably getting snubbed in these postseason awards because he should very well be in the running for executive of the year. But, you know, for some reason, you know, these people don't want to give the Hawks any respect. And so the Hawks are about to take that respect. And soon they'll have no choice but to recognize what's going on here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and again, the winning part does have validity. Don't get me wrong, you know. But again, the Hawks had, I think you mentioned it, and we've always been mentioning it, we were in the playoffs for 10 straight years. We had a chance to win the NBA Finals for 10 straight years, and there were a whole bunch of teams that wished they were in the same position, you know. And we were rebuilding the last couple of years of that streak. You know, and we've only been down for 3 years and on the technical side. We should have made playoffs those 2 years. But anyway, I don't want to get into that right now, of course. 646-652-4479 is the number. But again, when we get to this series with the New York Knickerbockers and we get to straight up play this team full healthy, I think that's when your national and regional and local stations and pundits and everybody will have to start changing their narratives, at least a little bit. Now, some of them will just be in denial, and they'll start coming up with excuses. You know how that goes. But the end results can't be changed at that point because this is a playoffs, a seven-game series. You know, if you got to win, you know, and once you're eliminated, you really don't have nothing to say anymore. And again, that's where it's going to be the proving point for this team. And again, this team is really confident. You know, belief goes a long way. One of my hashtags has been winning matters. When you believe you can win, it's easier to win when you believe you can win than vice versa, right? So when you look at it from just that perspective, the age part, yes, we have some young players. They can play basketball. The essence of everything is this is basketball. And that doesn't really change that much. And we know we can play up against anybody in the league. So, again, I'm excited. And I'm hoping that more fans can get excited and show their excitement and not be afraid to talk mess, you know, stuff, you know, in other words, I will not.
Oh, it's going on.
You know,
it's going on Twitter. It's going on Twitter, Chris. In fact, what's been going on, as soon as the Hawks clinched the division and made the playoffs, what you really had was what I would call a receipt day on Twitter. You had Hawks fans pulling up old tweets from everywhere predicting the Hawks weren't going to make the playoffs this year, predicting where we're going to be a 7th or 8th seed, talking about Trey was going to be a bust, talking about Trey couldn't lead teams to a win. And, boy, the Hawks fans responded to all of them. And it was a beautiful thing. They've been talking trash to the New York fans. It's gone on Bleacher Report. You've had New York fans invading the Hawks community, talking smack. The Hawks giving it right back to them. And even around the city, Chris, I've seen an increase of people wearing Hawks gear, Hawks hats, Hawks shirts, Hawks masks, which I have a Hawks mask for my COVID mask or what have you. And so I've seen an increase in that around the city as well. So this city is catching on. There is a buzz about this team, and I think a lot of people realize what we have here. And, yes, we had some very good teams during that tenure of 10 years in a row when we made the playoffs. But the difference is we actually have a superstar player and several other young players who have that superstar potential on this team. And one thing I'd like a lot of you guys to do, go and search, even just if you just do a Wikipedia search for Bogdan Bogdanovic and look at his resume internationally. I mean, you see MVPs, you see championships. In leagues overseas, like, I don't think people really realize how fast and what a winner Bogey is on an international level as well. And so, man, you know, it's just all come together, and a lot of it also, you just mentioned that confidence, and a big part of that is Nate McMillan, and his thing is, you know, stay together, tight and connected like a fist. One of his mottos to the team, and the other guy I'll say that's been big for the confidence of this team has been Lou Williams. That's one thing he's talked about since he's gotten here, that, you know, we've got a lot of young guys that can play, so he's doing his best to instill that confidence in those guys and let those guys know, don't bet times on none of these guys. You guys can beat anybody. And I think that's gone a long way. And Steve mentioned how what he's done, you know, working with Onyeka Okongwu and just helping him on when to set a screen, when to dive to the rim, how aggressive to be, to just play and not worry about, you know, making mistakes or getting fouls. And I think we've seen a major difference in that young man's game, and we got a chance to really see it showcase in that last game of the regular season against Houston where he was able to start and play big minutes. And I want to say he wound up with 22-15 or something to that effect. I know it was the biggest rebounding game of the season with 15 boards as well. And so, you know, there again, another good pick by Travis Schlenk also. So, man, the sky is the limit with this team. I think we have the perfect blend of veterans and youth. I think we have the perfect blend in scoring and defense and shooting. We got post players. We really got everything you need on a basketball team, Chris. And it's so exciting, and it's so crazy to me that the rest of the NBA world hadn't caught on to that yet. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be so interesting to see the shock and awe at what I believe is about to happen happens in this series. And I'm taking the New York fans are going to be so shocked and so upset and so hurt. And, Chris, I'm here for all of it, man. I'm not even going to lie to you. Because, you know, there's been a lot of things going on about how the NBA is so much better now that the New York Knicks are back in the playoffs. And the Hawks fans really did push back on that on Twitter, and it was hilarious. And I'm going to tell you, sir, the New York Knicks are not going to be around the playoffs long.
646-652-4479. Before I get started with what I was going to say.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
All right, so that was the late, great Dennis talking about the Knicks there. That's the first and the last on the show right there, y'all. So, maturation process goes a long way. Now, again, 72 games, that's 10 less games. The schedule was condensed as far as when these games were played. you didn't have a lot of room for trying to improve the team in regards to just straight-up practices. And, you know, practices made perfect, right? So with some of the players who are younger, especially the new rookies and whatnot, they didn't get a lot of playing time, if at all, you know, for a long period of time. And then when they did get a little bit of time, that was their chance to show, you know, if they had a glimpse of something, you know, things of that nature. And we saw that a little bit with Nathan Knight. We saw that a little bit with Mays. We saw that a little bit with Double O. But as the season did progress, you can start seeing that whoever was talking to them, whatever was being taught, they were taking it because you saw it translate on the floor, you know, and it was on a night-to-night basis. And you could see it on the confidence side. Because you would see them do things that they didn't do before. They didn't even try to do before, you know. And so that's a huge part of why this team is so deep, because you look at it from, okay, you got your starting five, and then you got your second team five, and now you have a whole other team that you can literally bring on the floor that can give you energy, that can give you actual production and energy. Not just energy, but actually production. You're going to get a couple of rebounds. You're going to get a block shot. You're going to get a dive to the floor. You're going to get a jumper that's going to go in. You're going to have somebody hitting some free throws. You're going to have somebody stealing the ball. So just overall, you have so much that you can throw at teams where, again, you have to play the Hawks now rather than the Hawks having to play the other teams, because you have to match up against us now. And we haven't really had that before. Before, you know, you pretty much knew who you could basically shut down, you know. You can't say that with this team at all. You have almost five players that at any given time can take over a basketball game. None of the other teams in the East has that. You see what I'm saying? So, again, for the Hawks, I believe we have a great shot to do something really special. I've been saying it for weeks now, documented. And that's why I continue to say we need to be, again, until the Hawks are eliminated from the playoffs, why not the Hawks? You see what I'm saying? Because everybody else is, you know, talking crazy out there, New York Knicks, you know. And think about it. Even right now, the Washington Wizards can still get into the playoffs, y'all. Like, think about where they were in the season earlier in the year. And they still have a shot if they win their next game. They will be, what, the eighth seed, I believe? So nothing is guaranteed. You've got to keep playing, though, until you're eliminated. And then at that point, okay, now the season's officially over. But until then, especially with who we have, again, it'd be different if we didn't have Trae Young on the team averaging 25 and 9 and a half assists a night. But we do. And he's trying to get 15 assists a night. And we got the players who can actually make that happen this year. And again, wherever if Hunter starts or come off the bench, either or, that makes our team much stronger than without him. And you see, he looks pretty spry to me. I mean, he don't look like nothing is hurting.
He looked fantastic in that last game.
Yeah, but
he looked fantastic in that last game. He looked back to himself. He was D'ing up. He was moving well. He was running the floor. That's trouble for New York, sir. That's big trouble for New York.
Knicks need to be worried just for the fact. And I have seen some fans kind of go back a little bit and be like, oh, wait, Hunter's playing? Oh, I don't know now. I mean, we have to think about this. We might have to slow our roll a little bit. Because again, look at how his season started. He was one of the most dominant players out there until he got hurt, right? And everybody knew it. Like, everybody knew it. That's the scary part of it. And he knows it, you know? And it's like, he's in our starting lineup now, you know? And so we have such a deep team. We have such an exciting team. Again, just looking forward to seeing what translates out. 646-652-4447. Now, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to be looking for some callers. We're hoping to get at least a caller or two before we end the show today. We have a whole show to talk basketball, the Atlanta Hawks. It's the playoffs, y'all, the NBA playoffs. We just had Steve Holman on the show. Tonight, we're going to have Bob Raskin. We're hoping we get a sneak call in from maybe, I don't know, I don't want to name names, but maybe somebody will call in this week. I hit up a couple people, so you never know. But in the meantime, we're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta sports talk.
we're back. Almost missed a cue on that one. 646-652-4479. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Around the ATL on a Thursday afternoon, a rare daytime show for us. We had a great interview with Steve Holman earlier in the afternoon talking Atlanta Hawks basketball. Always an exciting time to have Steve on. We've had Steve on, I believe this was actually his fourth time being on the show, if I'm not mistaken. But we always love to have these, have you know, what can I say, world-renowned broadcasters on, you know, our upstart show, which is today our 100th episode, by the way. It's not the anniversary show, but it's 100 shows all together. That's a lot of shows, of course. So we're always excited to have, you know, Steve, and then later on we have Bob Rathbun going to be on the show. So I'm very excited. We're hoping we're going to have that Trae Young interview for you eventually. We'll see how that happens. Jordan, as before, actually we got a caller, but Jordan, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, just enjoying being back on Around the ATL, man, doing the show. Just want to continue to give thanks to the great Steve Holman for being on with us, man. Just always such a great interview, so informative. I mean, he hits on some of everything. He answers some of the questions before you even ask him. I mean, just the best, man.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and bring this caller into the show. Good afternoon, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
What's up, fellas? This is Jamal from Macon, guys. Congratulations on 100 shows.
Appreciate that, man.
Hey,
thank
what's
you.
Going on, Jamal?
Nothing much, man. Like, again, man, y'all are doing a great thing, and I definitely had to come in today and just kind of give you guys your flowers while you're here.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. How's everything going, man? How's the family?
Oh, we're good, man. Good. Getting excited, man. Hey, we're back in the playoffs. Back in the playoffs, so I can't wait.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Jamal,
yeah, so I
just, oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't know if you got a chance to hear the interview, but how do you feel about the playoffs? Give us your take on everything that happened this season. Because this is the end of the year show before the playoffs, basically, the official one. So go ahead and give us your word up there.
Yeah, well, first I want to say, you know, that was a great interview with Steve. I was able to catch most of it. And, like, Steve's a funny guy, man. I was rolling when he was talking about Stephen A. Smith wouldn't recognize Kevin Herter if he was in the same elevator. So that was hilarious. But I honestly think that, like, this team is very prepared. I think the leadership of Nate McMillan cannot be understated, because the words that I'm hearing him say to the team are very, like, very wise. You know, he talked about how he's preparing them not to get calls, preparing them not to expect the whistle that they're going to get in the regular season. That's the type of wisdom that you can't buy, you can't get from any old head coach. Like, you can tell that this man, he's been through a lot of battles, and he's mentally preparing his team for the playoffs. Like, physically they're good, but mentally that's the part that's going to separate them and that's going to elevate them to the next level. And I think Nate McMillan is very important with this team. As far as our personnel, I think they're gonna show what they got. Jordan, and you spoke to it about, you know, being an underdog mentality, and I'm of the mindset of that too. Like, I think it's great that we're starting the series on the road, because I think if we would have started here in Atlanta and you get down, even down in the deficit in game one, the doubt starts to creep in, and it's very important that you have a solitude mind and everybody's on the same page. You start out on the road, you're like, this is a business trip. Nobody's here to have fun. Like, we're here to win a game or two, and we're going to go home, and we're going to go home and hammer them, which I think is going to happen. I just don't think New York, with the way that Tom Thibodeau coaches that team and the way that Julius Randle, like, the way he was used in the last month of the season, I don't think they're going to hold up, man. I just don't think so.
I agree, Jamal. I just don't think they have the overall firepower, man. I know that they're supposed to be the number one defense, but that last game before Trae got hurt, we got any shot we wanted to against that team. And that was with five other guys out, and Collins on a minute restriction. I mean, They couldn't stop anything we were doing. And so, like I said, I don't think people really understand what's about to happen. And you see Trey say it all the time on Twitter, we got them shooters. And he's not lying. Like, we got a bunch of them. And like Steve mentioned, you know, there was one game where Bogey hit 7 threes in the first half, and Gallo hit 7 in the second half, or was it reversed? But
it was reversed.
It's crazy. You know what I mean? It's like if one doesn't care, the other one can, and you still got to deal with Trey and John and DeAndre and Turner. And, man, it's a lot, bro. I really haven't seen a team this deep, and I said this a couple shows ago, but I haven't seen a team this deep since that Portland Trailblazer team that had Damon Stoudemire, Steve Smith, Scottie Pippen was on that team, Rasheed Wallace was on that team, and Arvydas Sabonis. And their second team was Greg Anthony, Bonzi Wells, Detlef Schrempf, Brian Grant, and Jermaine O'Neal. We're the deepest team in that team, in my opinion, sir. Even though it's funny because most of the league does not even understand that. And part of the reason is because we haven't had our full team together all year. But when you look at it, there's only two other teams that have more missed games due to injury than we did, and that's Houston and Orlando. They're both horrible. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we're one of the best teams in the league missing all those players all year long. It's truly amazing. I've never seen anything like this.
And for New York, for New York, I think, you know, you have Derrick Rose, and again, you can't take nothing away from the season. He's one of the reasons why the Knicks are so good. But besides him and, of course, Julius, are you really banking on R.J. Barrett to be the third guy? Because that's basically what would have to happen every game for them to even really hang with a full-strength Hawks team. So that's what I'm looking at. You know, as far as on the, just the competitive side, because just out of their starting lineup, look what happens in their starting lineup on a night-to-night basis. There's not a lot of people that jump out at you, right? So, you know, coming off that bench, they do have a few people off the bench, but it's like, we're full healthy and we're playing like we've been playing. Like, how would they even beat us? But that's a whole other thing. Real quick on Cam Reddish, because I'm seeing some stuff by Kevin.
Who's on our show.
In the next 10 to 14 days, you know, because he's been upgraded a little bit here as far as being able to do some individual workouts and limited participation in practice. So, hey, depending on how far we advance, all of a sudden we could throw Cam out there, which would be crazy. But that's pretty cool to see right now. You know, all of a sudden, I'm just saying, you know, all of a sudden. You know. But anyway, go ahead.
Get to a game 7. Let's say not that I think he's gonna go that far. I think we're gonna knock him out 5 or 6, honestly. But if you to a game 7 against the Knicks, and then you can throw a Cam Reddish out there to like disrupt whatever they're trying to do, that's gonna be insane.
Right, or a second round series against the Philadelphia, you know, you could add him to the mix, even if he just is a defensive specialist. That's another big, you know, big thing for this team. And, you know, that's why I think getting DeAndre back is so big, because, you know, he can play on Julius Randle some, or if you want to, you can put him on Barrett, and Barrett's not going to do too much if he's being defended by DeAndre Hunter. You know what I mean? So we've just got so many options, man, and things we can do. And it's just a beautiful thing. And on top of that, we have a superstar, and as I mentioned, a superstar that has that mentality that, okay, you're going to doubt me, I'm going to show you. That's who Trey is. And, you know, so, you know, in a way it makes me mad when they pick against us and don't choose us for anything. But on the other hand, I'm like, okay, keep on doing that. Trey's going to show you guys. Like, he is that guy. He has the Mamba mentality. He has the Jordan mindset. You know, and it's certain players that do that, and they look for any motivation to try to take and use that, you know, as fuel to the fire. And I'm telling you, man, Trey is that guy, and he's about to show him coming up in this series, man. So I'm just so excited, Jamal. And, man, so glad to hear from you, brother, and to get your thoughts on this, man, because this has been a season unlike any other, man, for real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. This is definitely where all the last 3 or 4 years of the, you know, the all the stuff, the Trash Brothers and all that stuff, man. This is the day we've been waiting for.
I was being very careful not to throw monikers out there with Steve.
We back in the privacy of the group, so we can do it now. But this has been, and you know, all the trades and things like that. And Jordan, you alluded to it with like the moves, with the exception of a couple of them. Like Travis is really, like he has really put this team together. You know, it kind of reminds me of you guys remember the Bad Boys documentary with the Detroit Pistons, and they called that GM Trader Jack because he made like a ton of trades to finally get that team to a championship level. And to me, this is kind of like Travis Link is kind of becoming that guy, the new age Trader Jack, because he's made all these trades, all these draft picks, all these transactions to get this team where they need to get. And I always said, to me, Trae Young, like they try to, you know, they've compared him to Steph Curry, and at one point he said Steve Nash was his favorite player, which nowadays I
can't do about
Nash.
Lasha.
I only want he's a dartboard to me, but to me, Trae Young, I compare his career on the same trajectory as an Isaiah Thomas, because in year three of Isaiah Thomas, that was the first year he made the playoffs. In year three, Detroit, he was a number five seed. Now they played the Knicks that year, so you know, there's a lot of parallels. So if you look at the trajectory of Trae Young and Isaiah Thomas, like honestly, that's the kind of situation I want Trae to look at. You know, year one, two, you didn't make the playoffs. Year three, you finally made the playoffs and possibly, you know, move further in the first round. And then by year four or five, you're going to the conference finals, like, every year. So, to me, like, Trae Young, you're looking at something like that.
Well, belief goes a long way. And, again, from the very beginning, you know, beyond the whiteboard and everything, it's in the press conferences. And, again, every press conference when you're talking about, you know, I have the hashtag, you know, winning matters. When you believe you can win, it's much easier to convince everybody else, you know, and that's on any management level, but definitely in sports. When you have something that's not winning related or winning relatable or just an attitude to say, is it okay to win? Maybe we, you know, it's different and it's tangible. You can taste it. And, I mean, the goal is to, you know.
You play to win the game.
That's the goal. And with us having these players at this point now, knowing that they can win and having the leadership that they do have, having the confidence that they have, I believe is going to go a long way from now on. But again, this is the team to beat in the East the next decade plus. Not all these other yahoos out here. Again, all these other teams, you know, the Nets, they paid for a championship. Will they be able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals? We're going to see. With three players, you know, again, we got to see if KD and the Beard, you know, they're going to score 30 points a game. Or are they going to have to? You know, is Kyrie going to take more PTO time off? I don't know. You know, Philadelphia, you know, they have a head coach that unfortunately his previous stops, you know, don't kind of stop at the second round. I mean, I'm just saying that's who it is. And the team as well, Philly. And then, of course, you got Milwaukee, which they're just a big old question mark as far as I'm concerned. Anybody can beat them. So with the Hawks right now, again, I think everybody needs to be afeared. I don't know. It's okay to everybody, all these other pundits to say the Hawks aren't going to win, but it's just so many of them. I guess that's what's surprising to me is like, and since Steve said it, you know, a lot of them maybe have not watched that many games, but how can all of them not watch that many games? How could all of them not know that we had a midseason coaching change? How could all of them not know we had 5-6 players hurt every game and we were still winning games? How do you not know we have 25 wins at home or 11 in a row at home or we close the season with a 4-game win streak? How do you just not know that or not care? That's what makes it strange.
Let me add this real quick, Chris. Some of them live here.
I don't get that.
But
some
you know,
of them live
you know,
here, Chris. They live here in this city.
But you know, the thing about it, guys, like, y'all, you, Chris, you and Jordan, y'all do your research. Like, the thing I respect about you guys and why you have, like, a more respectable voice in Atlanta Sports Talk is because you know the identity of the teams that we're playing. Like, you you ran it down, Chris. Like, you know the personnel of the New York Knicks. You know what they do well, what they don't do well. The thing about that I don't respect about these guys that's on TV now is they don't know anything about the Hawks. If it ain't Trae Young or if it's not about, oh, Lord, Pierce was done wrong, they don't know anything about this team. So it's like they don't know anything, so they want to, and they want to keep this narrative from 3 years ago about a trade in the draft, and they want to make it seem like, oh, it was the worst trade in history. Well, guess what? They're both five seeds. They both have the same odds to get to the finals. We might have better odds, but they don't want to talk about that.
Right, and a couple of things when it comes to Isaiah Thomas. Recently, he had a clip on NBA TV on May the 10th, and, you know, his quote was, you know, when he looks at Trae Young, he sees a winning basketball point guard emerging. And, you know, he talked a little bit about Trae Young on a clip, so everybody go check that out. It's on the NBA TV Twitter account. I retweeted it a couple of days ago as well. And that's big praise coming from a guy like Isaiah, who knows what it takes to win at 6'1", you know, in the NBA. So I thought that was a very interesting comparison you made there. And for those who haven't had a chance to check out Rashard Phillips' interview with Isaiah Thomas, it's probably about an hour long, I want to say. But, I mean, he goes all the way back to high school and college and just his whole journey from the streets of Chicago to the NBA, man. It's a fantastic interview. So everybody go to Rashard Phillips' YouTube site and check that out. It's Sports Talk 2319. I'm going to look that up to make sure I got it correct. I want to say Sports Talk 2319 is the name of the YouTube channel. It's a fantastic interview, and it really will give you a good insight on what a guy like Trae has to go through to be successful, you know, at his stature in this league.
Yeah,
real quick, hopefully that parallel don't come all the way through where, you know, Trae gets hit in the head and he starts bleeding, he's starting to, you know, choke one of his head coaches or anything. Hopefully that part don't happen. Just saying, I mean, that wouldn't be the best.
Hey, if it results in two championships, I'll take it. Oh, he's all right.
I know that's right. Well, I mean, it's really hard to compare Trae to anybody, man, because, you know, as great Isaiah Thomas was, and obviously there are certain things that he did better than Trae Young, but Trae Young's a better passer now than Isaiah Thomas was, to be honest with you, just in terms of pure vision and pure passing. I mean, his numbers are better than Magic Johnson's were at this stage in his career. He's way better than Steve Nash in his stage of his career, because Steve Nash didn't really break out until like his fifth year or so, fourth or fifth year, when it comes to putting up big numbers and assists. And it's crazy. Like, it took LeBron having a career year to finish ahead of him last year, and it took Westbrook changing teams to finish ahead of him this year. So he's been second 2 years in a row. James Harden didn't qualify because he didn't play enough games, even though he averaged a bunch of assists over there. But I'm telling you, eventually he's going to lead the league in assists, and it's going to become a thing where it's not even a big deal anymore. Like, oh, Trae led the league again. You know what I mean? That's how it's going to be here soon.
Yeah. The thing about Trae Young is that I've never seen a player that, again, Trae Young come out last year 29-9. Okay, well, we were 20-47. I get it. But I never seen such a feverish smear campaign against one player.
Hatred.
Being good. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand how a guy, he minds his business, he doesn't go out here and, you know, talk about players and all that kind of stuff. Okay, he might nutmeg a couple players, but guess what? It's within the context of the game. He's
right.
A small player. That's what he has to do to get around you sometimes. But it's like, I've never seen such a smear campaign put against one player for just being good. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's
crazy, man.
And I look at it from not – and again, not just the snub of the All-Star game. That was one thing. But, you know,
yeah,
to not – To, and in your own city, you know, And with the numbers he had at that time, too, because they were, you know, anyway, that's a whole other story. But, you know, I guess when it comes to the finalization of the season and whether or not he's put into the all-NBA ranking or not is going to be really the telltale sign, because, again, it's going to be like, well, wait a minute. How are you also going to insult him on that after he got his team to the playoffs, winning records, the whole nine yards, all the accolades, and what if we do? Because I'll throw the if out there just for everybody out, everybody else. Knock out the Knicks in the first round. Give whoever we got in the second round all they can handle. What if we actually get to the Eastern Conference Finals? And you're going to really say, okay, well, Trey is still, he's not even, he's just on that, he's just a, you know, secondary player of some sort. That's crazy, you know, when you really think about it, after his first two seasons. And last year he was an all-star starter. So, again, it's just a matter of how do you follow that? How do you legitimately talk like that out loud, especially, you know? And, again, how are you going to backtrack when the obvious is going to start happening? You know, that's what's going to be really interesting to me, is, like, how all these guys who've been said stringently how much the Hawks are just not a factor, Trey is no, you know, but when they prove that they are, what are they going to say then? Because, again, say it with your chest. You can't change it now. What was Trey saying earlier in his career? Keep that same energy, right? So it's going to be a ball, you know, and that's why I keep saying for Hawks fans, we got to be on the equal side of the opposite as much as possible. You know what I'm saying? Because we know. We're watching it every night. We see it. So, again, this is going to be a real interesting challenge, but it's going to be fun. Again, it has been a few years since we haven't been in the playoffs. And, again, every time you're in the playoffs, you have a chance to win the championship. I don't care what nobody says. There's no wasted season being in the playoffs. I had somebody a couple of years ago say, well, what good is being in the playoffs if you're not going to win the championship? Well, what are you talking about? How do you know you're not? Again, the Denver Nuggets beat the Seattle Supersonics. The Dallas Mavericks beat the Miami Heat. They beat the Miami Heat, who said they're going to win seven championships in a row. Bron said that, right? Where is Bron now? On his third team since?
I think it was eight, actually.
He said, in the world, and they couldn't even win the first one. So what are you talking about? It wasn't a waste of time. You get to the playoffs, anything can happen with anybody. You have to play, though. You have to play the game. And that's where the Hawks are now. And they're in a real special position to do something really crazy, unexpected, I believe. And I'd rather be on the side of me being right than me being mysteriously maybe wrong, because I didn't want to be confident in my team. 646-652-4479. Any other comments, Jordan or Jamal?
Yeah, I want to rewind back to what Jamal said in the narrative against Trae Young. And, you know, a lot of people thinking it's an Atlanta thing, but in this case, I don't think it is. This narrative with Trae Young started in college. And it started... Despite the fact that he led the entire NCAA in points and assists, which is something that, you know, hadn't been done in many, many years, and very few have ever done, he went through a little period where his shot was off. He was being doubled and triple teamed, and it was, like, a big thing to show, like, you know, his misses and things of that nature on ESPN in particular. And so what I think it is, guys, is they trying to create a narrative of heroes and villains. And they decided this guy in Dallas, Luka, is going to be a hero, and they decided that Trey is a villain from the beginning. And so the other culprit I've seen as being big in this is the publication called The Ringer, because they did a big article on how likely he was to be a bust, either right before the draft or right after the draft.
He plays himself.
Right.
Yep.
As well as ESPN also. They're, you know, index and analysis. They had all these advanced stats, and they had Trae Young as most likely to be a bust in the draft class. And, you know, here we had our guy, Rashard Phillips, who was a Trae Young guy who was saying all along, he was saying he would have picked Trae number one in that draft, but he wanted Trae to be in Atlanta. And sure enough, you know, that's where he is, and that's, you know, what he said about Trae has been right. Now, you know, he, like myself and a lot of other people, were a little bit wrong about Fluka. Fluka's a little bit better than what we thought, you know, he would be. But, man, this man has received death threats and everything else from behind his draft analysis of speaking up for Trey and not liking Fluka in the draft. I mean, literally, he had to call the FBI once because someone threatened to dismember him You know what I mean? So it's just really crazy how the media, like, creates these heroes and villains, and you have some people that they latch onto this, and they really believe it. Even some people who are fans here, unfortunately, there are a few. Especially for here, they have traced back. But there are a few even here I've had to, like, debate with and whatnot. And all you do is you hear them repeating those media narratives. And the main narrative is about Trey's defense, but I don't know, guys. Like, I want to listen to a lot of games. It's not Trey's God is killing us on defense when we do get killed on defense. So, you know, I don't know what to say, fellas.
Yeah, it's Trey Young.
Baby!
I've seen a whole lot of improvement this year just with effort. Like, I don't never expect Trey Young to just clamping dudes like Gary Payton. But, I mean, the effort this year has been exponentially better. Like, I mean, yeah, definitely last year. And the year before, I would have definitely pointed out some deficiencies in his defense. But Trey Young is giving a lot better effort. I've seen him get timely strips on defense. I recall a game, it was Nate's first game after he took over as interim coach in Miami. And there were two instances where Trey Young took very good fouls, on one on Bam Adebayo and one on Iguodala. That literally saved us 3 points because those two plays were like surefire layups or dunks, and he fouled them just trying to save points. And that saved us 3 points. Right. I forget how many points we won that game by, but I know it was a very close game, and that was that win right there spearheaded what we see today. And so just those little things, I think I called it out one day, that day. I said those two fouls were very critical in that game because last year and the year before, he probably would have just said, whatever, you know, there's a dunk. But the effort a lot better this year. And Jordan, I agree, man. Like, I am so sick of, like, seeing these networks come out here and just – I understand – that Luka is a good player. Like, I'm not going to ever be that person. Like, no, he sucks. No, he's a great player. But they try to put him on Trey's shoulders to make Trey look bad, and it's very sickening, and I get tired of seeing it. It's just ridiculous.
It gets old.
It's
the numbers aren't that different, but one guy is an MVP candidate. And the other guy can't even get 13 All-NBA or make an All-Star game in his town, in his own city. It's crazy to me.
They tried to give Luka MVP in the preseason.
Right.
In the preseason, they haven't even played a game yet.
Yeah, man, it's insane. It really is. But it's like I said, it's predetermined narratives is what it seems like to me. And for some reason, they just wanted to make this kid out to be a villain, but he's not playing the game. Because he's not a bust, he's an outstanding player, he's an outstanding young man. You know, he doesn't give him anything to criticize him on or, you know, or whatever. Now, he will tell him he's confident in his game and all of that, and, you know, I love that. But he doesn't really give them any real thing to knock him about, you know what I mean? And so, you know, but yet some of them just going to continue to stick to their narrative, man. They're going to die on their heel, I guess, you know what I mean? Because...
I got to think, Ray Young on Twitter. I follow him. I think you guys probably follow him too. Like, that's the influence of a good father. Like, because that man, I've seen the way people talk to Ray Young on Twitter, and I'm like, dude, you're gonna talk to a father like that? And shout out to all the fathers, like Anthony Prince that used to be in our group.
Yeah.
I saw people saying to him, like, I want to fight, you know what I mean? But you got to take fathers that are really in there, integral in these guys' lives, because they go through a lot. They have a lot said to them, about them, and, you know, that to me, that's a big influence on Trey.
That was one of the reasons
I had
Anthony and, you know, John Collins' mom on the show, just to give that perspective of the parents of the players. I mean, these players are just like us. They have a job, and they're taking care of family, and their families are intertwined in what they do more so than what we would normally see because they're in sports and entertainment and things of that nature, but they're still humans. you know, and things that people say, especially with this social media thing that's out there or whatever. People see everything now. They hear everything. And I wanted to give that little bit of perspective to be like, you know what, sometimes you need to check yourself just a little bit, because people read this and they're going to think a certain way because of what you say in black and white, that unless you delete it really quick, they're going to see it. And that plays a part in how they're going to look at you from then on in. And again, like Jamal just said, and Jordan, we talked about it before, there's some really, really bad things, I'll just use that word, that have been said towards the parents. Not just the players, but the parents of the players, the girlfriends, wives, just all kind of stuff all the way down the line. So it's really embarrassing sometimes. It's like, how are you that bold? Like, how are you that bold in the first place? But whatever.
No, I totally agree, man. I can't stand some of these internet Tupacs, some thugging with their keyboard courage. In fact, I checked the dude, and I appreciate you saying stuff to people, Jamal and you guys, when y'all do check people, because I do think we have to police our own fan base sometimes. And I said something to a dude recently because Ray Young commended Trey for sacrificing some of his scoring average and, you know, being a playmaker and a guy that's getting the ball to the right guys in the right spots. And at the time, we were down, I want to say, 13 points against Indiana recently. And so in the middle of the game, some dude decides to quote that tweet. And when quoting that tweet, for Ray Young say, well, you really shouldn't be telling him that. That's what he's supposed to do. I hope you and your camp are telling Trey where he needs to improve. And I had to check that dude. I was like, dude, do you think that's appropriate to be tweeting that to this man's dad? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the middle of a game, you think he's not upset because we're down 13? You think he don't live and die with every single play? You think he don't talk to his son about everything, you know, good and bad? Let that man commend his son if he want to commend his son. So eventually, I ended up blocking the dude. He just couldn't understand where he was wrong. But you know, when I see that stuff, I'm gonna say something, man, because it's just not right. You know, if a player's not playing well or doing something wrong, that's fine. You can talk about it on Twitter, but do not tag that man. That man, do not tag the player in that tweet, and certainly don't tag his parents. So they need to respect Mr. Yanni, respect Ms. Collins, and all of the parents and spouses or whatever of our players. Because like Chris says, players know this stuff happens. They pay attention to what's going on. Even if they may not respond to it publicly, they know. And so we need to be appropriate as a fan base. We need to have our guys back. And, you know, if there's anything negative, I understand your fans. You get upset. You want to vent sometimes. You're doing it. You can do it on Twitter. Do it on Facebook. But don't tag the players or the parents. Please stop that, guys. Stop dumb thugging.
Yeah, that's to me, that's where the line is drawn, man. Because, you know, again, I've vented my frustration on plenty of times. You know, Chris, you've seen it in New Pack City all the time. But I would never ever just go at a player's parent like that. To me, because I put myself in my shoes. If that was my son out there, giving his all for a franchise, playing hurt, you know what I mean? Just trying to just win a game, and you're out here, well, your son is selfish or your son is this and that. Like, man, do you understand the work that he put in to get to this point? You know what I mean? Like, and you sitting here on Twitter, probably sitting in mama's basement talking like that. That's crazy.
No, I don't even give him the basement. He was on the porch. Don't that.
Yeah, it's wild, man. That's the kind of, that, but we got to be better as a whole. But, you know, for the most part, you know, most of the people shout out the house Twitter and, you know, and all the Facebook groups, New Pack City. Most people, you know, don't cross that line, but for the few to do, they need to cut it out, man, because it's just not a good look. And, you know, you want all players to feel like their fans are on their side. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, man, don't need to do that. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, you know, that person I see do that, I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna mention Kwame Brown. I'll tell Kwame Brown they was talking about him.
Yeah, he's Kwame Brown. He's going for everybody.
Yeah, he ain't gonna be a guest on the show though. So I'm just letting y'all know now.
This is a family show, man. I don't think we can stand his language, but I tell you what, boy, it drives the ratings up. I can promise you that.
Hey, they missed. Hey, Kwame Brown. They didn't know about these Georgia boys. Now they.
You said the same thing I said, Jamal. Like, okay, let's not mix up. I keep telling people, let's not mix up basketball versus the hands. We talk about two different sports here. This guy is a backwoods country Georgia boy. I don't leave that guy alone, man. Like, he is not playing around with them at all.
Well, Jamal, I appreciate you, man, being able to call in on this show today. You know, like I said, it's a big time period of time for the Atlanta Hawks franchise, you know, coming back after a few down years. But we've rebuilt an entire team, and they're in the playoffs. And I know a lot of people think it might be sooner than what they expected or whatnot. But, again, what is too soon? I never understood that. But we got to be excited. We have this team that we feel that can definitely win and advance. And I said, with the core that we have, this is the core that's going to get us our first championship. Don't know when it's going to be. Could be this year. But this is the team that we're going to get to see. And we lasted this long. We got to just finish it out now. So I'm very excited. So thanks for calling in. Any last thoughts?
No, I appreciate you guys as well. I'm excited about the playoffs. And, again, congratulations on 100 show. It's been a good ride. I've been – luckily been able to hear most of the shows, and I look forward to 100 more.
Appreciate it, man. We appreciate you, brother. I always enjoy the conversation, my brother.
Oh,
yes,
before
sir.
You go, Jamal, for all the fans that have been listening and will listen in the future, Jamal Price is the owner of the Originator brand. Tell us about that, Jamal, and how they can reach you for their Atlanta sports gear.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have the Originator brand. And what we do graphic design and creative services. So we do everything from logo design, brand brand development, everything. And we also have an apparel section. So right now we actually have some Atlanta basketball playoff shirts on sale on our website. So definitely check it out. If you go to theoriginator.com, you can find everything you need to gear up for the playoffs. That's theoriginator.shop.com, theoriginatorshop.com.
That's me talking about that again. I usually do my intro a little different, but since I forgot, I had to do stuff backwards. So I want to make sure you got that in before you go.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
No problem. All right, man. Well, till this weekend, you take care of you and yours, and let's have a great first day of the playoffs, Sunday night.
All right, fellas. Good chopping it up with you. We'll talk later.
All right, Jamal.
All right.
And that was Mr. Jamal Price, the creator of one of the Facebook pages, the New Pack City page on Facebook. Check it out if you ever get a chance. We got some great fans in that group. And also, again, he's the owner of the Originator brand. Make sure you visit him also on Instagram. So, as we wind down, Jordan, you know, we got a big weekend ahead. And, again, with Steve being on the show, we know we got Bob in a few hours tonight. I'm hoping that the fans definitely appreciate where we are and where we've been. Again, the Hawks have a legacy. It doesn't involve a championship yet, except for St. Louis in 1958. None of us are that old, though, not most of us. But we have to appreciate where we are, and you have to, again, make that choice. Do you want to be a fan of the team, or do you want to be that wishy-washy person that only wants to kind of be a part of things when the team wins? But what if the team never wins? Again, you knew whenever you became a Hawks fan that they had not won a championship yet. Depending on when you were born, they hadn't made an Eastern Conference Finals yet, right? But are you really going to just say that, well, the team has to win for me to be interested? Like, that's really the opposite of being a fan of sport. Casual fan, you can do that all day long. But once you say you're attached to a team, you're attached to that team through thick and thin. That's what it is. And because it's competition, you might win, you might lose. If you can't deal with losing, you're never going to be able to deal with the winning. And I think that's why I still get upset with a lot of people, is that some people don't care if the team does win, you know, besides the losing. So it's always been confusing to me, but we're in a special place right now, and we get to see these young men play every night and really compete at a high level, and they're a threat in the Eastern Conference. They are a threat, and you have to believe that too, and you have to want it as well. Maybe you don't want the Hawks to win the NBA Finals. I don't know. What's going to happen if they win the NBA Finals? Oh, man, the Hawks won the NBA Finals 5 years before they were supposed to. Are you really going to say that out loud? Are you really going to type that on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook? I want to see someone do it. The Atlanta Hawks have won the 2020 NBA Finals, but what? Where's the butt? You see what I'm saying? That's what upsets me. That's why I keep mentioning it all the time. So hopefully everybody appreciates it. Again, you know, we're so thankful that we have Steve be able to take time out at the end of the regular season to come in and chime in on this Hawks season. And again, we're excited to talk to Bob later on. Jordan, any final thoughts as we wrap up the show?
Well, my final thoughts is I believe, sir. I do. I believe this team is going to make it out of the first round. I believe this team is going to be a tough out for anybody they play. And I do believe that this team, this core group with Trey, John, and these guys will win a championship. You know, I'm like you. I'm not going to predict it's going to happen this year for sure. I'm not going to say it's not either. But first things first, let's take care of game one in New York. Let's go in there and play our game the way we know how to play it. Let's stick close to these shooters, guys like Bullock and Quickly. You know, let's not let those guys get off. They can't get their own shot. And play, you know, limit Randle and Rose as best we can. And let's go ahead and steal a game. Game one in New York, and go ahead and put them on their heels to start off with. So, you know, with that being said, sir, you know, go Hawks, true to Atlanta, we move, you know what I mean? And I'm just very much looking forward to it, sir.
Trae Young's going to have a windmill dunk. I'm just calling it out. Jordan, where can people find you on the internet? I'll just threw that in there. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at Jordan23ATL on Twitter, and in the Bleacher Report community, I am at Jordan15ATLGA on the Bleacher Report community. Check me out there. We're talking a lot of good Hawks basketball as well as all the Atlanta sports, the Falcons, and excited about their upcoming season and the Braves. Oh, boy. But, yeah, so check me out there, man, and certainly appreciate everyone listening. Certainly want to thank Steve, who's just a fantastic interview as always. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta Hawks that I love.
Make sure you follow Around the ATL on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio, IMTM Radio on Twitter, and you can listen to past episodes on Spotify, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Make sure you follow those pages. And until next time, well, actually, until tonight at 8 p.m., where we will have Bob Rathbun of the Atlanta Hawks on the show. We'll talk to you all later. Peace.